The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Side Studies.
Welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I'm Rick Welch, and straight out of Compton is Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
That's the first time ever.
Mixing it up.
I am. Yeah. Behind the glass is Rocket Man Andy Bishop.
It's me.
And Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing this like you tighten the lugs on a car. You know, he's like back and forth.
That's right. That's making it nice and tight.
Yep.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Leave it alone.
And across the room, all by herself, it's Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
I'm never all by myself. Never. I have the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
And those voices in her head.
We don't talk about those, Ralph. That won't help me get elected.
I never even thought of that.
I don't even remember what the cow thing is from at this point. Is that
Christmas.
Like from Archer?
No, it's Christmas. Oh. It's that little meme that I made where it's the donkey that's kicking the guy in the face.
Oh. By the way, did you see the donkey nanny picture that
you sent?
I want to be the donkey nanny.
Yes, they got the little sheep in the little pockets hanging
because
on the donkey.
Because the little baby sheep, the little lambs can't walk that far.
I know. Isn't that something? We don't have Billy Kimsey. Guys, he is... It stayed in Vegas. I mean, he just stayed in Vegas.
I like to imagine that he's having this, like, epic adventure.
Never coming back.
And he's going to come back and not tell us about it.
We recorded all of these on one night. It's going to sound like he's been to Vegas for months.
To hear what candy he's like when he comes back.
Ooh, that's going to be some nasty candy.
And Cherry isn't here either. So
this play goes on forever.
He's got the allergies kicking in tonight. Well, guys, listen here. This is going to be a four-part side study. That is something that I learned in the last year that blew my mind. And tonight we're just going to give a little bit of an introduction to this, but it's called the Feasts of the Lord, or some will say the Feasts of Yahweh. But it's found in Leviticus 23. Are you able to read tonight?
I am.
Wonderful.
Well, I would like each of those feasts is also in a different book with more explanation, here it gives all. Seven.
It does. And Leviticus 23 is being, you know, placed. It's telling you when you're going to do these and what, you know, what you're doing. So if you would, Sarita, read all of Leviticus 23. And guys, just bear with us. I know it's Leviticus and you're like, what is this?
Well, it's going to be. It's not Exodus or Deuteronomy, so.
But it's going to be.
Our numbers.
God. We could keep on naming Bible.
Do you even read
it's
that
not,
anymore?
It's not Jonah.
It's not Hebrews.
look at Andy knowing it.
Get it, boy.
All right. So this is going to be like quite a few verses. Actually, I tell you what. How about instead of reading all of Leviticus 23,
okay.
Why don't you read like the first 10 verses?
Okay. You're the boss, man. That's not in Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvests, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord.
Yeah, and basically it's going to continue doing that. What he's doing is saying, these are the appointed feasts that God made for his people.
Okay. How rich did you have to be to take part of these feasts? Everybody's always got to slaughter a whole animal. I don't think that's practical for like a lot of people at that time.
Yeah. And there are, for these specific feasts, these are the important feasts. Now, there were always like little sacrifices and things going on. Sometimes they could only use a pigeon. That's all they had.
Or well, a dove. And for three of the feasts, the males all had to come.
Right.
Did you, I don't know if you noticed or this said anything to you, but it said, the Lord says, go tell these people. So in the book of Leviticus, in all of the teachings, God directs to whom should be spoken to.
Yeah, that's good.
So in all of this, it's something I didn't really know. I'd heard, but then this particular time studying this, I came across it again. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is true. That's God's directing to whom that this should be spoken to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so here's the kind of the weird part. Normally, Andy, if I read the Bible, like if I read the Bible in a year, right? And I just finished Leviticus, and that is, it's a hard book to read because it's old school. It's telling the priest what they need to do. Like, and if the priest sees a mark on the skin, and therefore you go to the priest, and then you take a sheaf of grain and you wave it and you go, you know, like all of the ceremonial things that go with this religious group.
I'm pretty sure Leviticus is where I stopped my one attempt.
Lit.
Yeah.
A kiss.
Leviticus. Well, I think that stopped my one attempt to actually read through the Bible was Leviticus. I think that's where it just ended.
Yeah. Yep. When it comes to things like that, I think about Jesus in the temple with all of the money changers going, okay, they've created all these things just so somebody else can make a shekel.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, it's when you're reading Leviticus, it gets so just daunting, you know, and we're not under that type of ceremonial, you know, rites, sacrificial things that like that anymore. So, but it's still something that was written in the Old Testament that in the old covenant that they did. But I heard Pastor Curtis give this sermon about the feasts. And then I heard Zach Davis give a similar kind of sermon. And I started looking back at it and I was like, wait a minute. I didn't realize that every one of these feasts that God has said do this was literally a type and shadow of the things that the Messiah would do.
Oh, yeah. It was all...
I had no clue that it was pointing to the Messiah. I just thought that these people got together and ate and waved grain.
The feasts of the Nostradamus of the Bible.
Yeah. So... if you think about it, I'll just give you just like a couple of examples, because what we're going to do in the rest of the series is really break it down. So, Passover. We all know the story, right? Why don't you give us the, Sarita, help us by giving the Andy the Cliff's Notes version of the Passover.
Give me the $2 Passover.
Yeah.
Let my people go.
That's right.
Moses wanted to free them. He said the Pharaoh... said, nope, ain't gonna happen. Then he says, yep. And then he says, nope. And then he says, yep. And then he says, nope.
Although, to be fair, wouldn't it be Moses's brother?
Well,
they'd like whispering. Moses would listen to him, stepbrother. And then Moses would whisper to his stepbrother. His stepbrother would be like, yes. And then the Pharaoh would be like, no. And so Moses' stepbrother would whisper to Moses. Moses would whisper back. And he'd be like, yes.
You know that I know that you know that I know that you know.
That's good. That's good.
This ends up being the last of the plagues.
Yeah.
So when finally they got fed up, there were plagues, and all the plagues were an attack on the particular god. So each day was an attack on a different god of Egypt.
Yeah, I remember talking about this a little bit. I've never heard that aspect of it before, this podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, there was one with frogs where frogs were everywhere. People were slipping on them. They were dropping from the ceiling. They were everywhere. The river turned to blood.
They were all up in Egypt.
Yep.
Then it got to the serious one when Pharaoh hardened his heart for, I think, the next to last time. And he said, okay, we'll kill all the firstborn males, your servants, your livestock, your animals, your pets, your sons, whatever, unless you take the lamb, the blood from a lamb, and put it over your doorposts, and I'll skip over that house.
Passover.
Yeah, he passed over. It's not called skip over. It's called Passover. He passed right over. And finally, Pharaoh was like, here's a bunch of gold. All the people were like, here's a bunch of stuff. Get out. And so they started walking. And then Pharaoh hardened his heart again and started chasing them.
Sent them. Yeah.
And the idea is because Passover, so you've got this blood on the doorposts imagery. And then God instructs them to that lamb that they'd slaughtered to roast it by fire. And then they are to eat it while they're still fully dressed in their tunic, wearing their sandals and holding a staff because they're going to be on the run. So this Passover is like really quick. And the representation of Passover points to the future. When you think about the Messiah, Christ was the Lamb of God. His blood would be applied for the sins of mankind. It would happen in a hurry.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Best Christian song out there.
The unleavened bread comes in because they left in such a hurry.
I was absolutely going to ask about the unleavened bread.
They left in such a hurry that they didn't have time to let it rise, and so they left.
So they put their bread in the baskets and they carry them and they are running.
And they just ate some flat bread.
They did.
Well, and everywhere in the Bible except here, leaven is also indicative of the devil and evil. And in this one place, it is not. And when they bring it back at the end, when we get through these, they mention that when they start the church, they bring back in this bread, and that's just to show that there's still evil in the church and we need to be aware.
Huh. I've never heard that one, but like leaven is more, I wouldn't say it was just the devil because Christ compares.
It says evil, but in some
Christ
places
compares
it says the devil.
The kingdom of God as someone putting in three measures of meal and the leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. So there's a side of leaven that's good. I think it's the idea is leaven is like what the Sadducees and the Pharisees taught. That's what leaven is seen as. And so unleavened bread meant that because they were in a hurry and there was no time for it to rise, but also when Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, you know, the disciples were like, was he worried because we don't have any bread? You know, because they're such oafs at times, you know.
So they were
like, why are you talking about bread? Like, what do you mean?
So they were like, just take what you can get because we're leavened. grab that flatbread. Yeah. I don't know. There's a good joke in there somewhere that wasn't
I got it.
I'm leaven on a camel.
Leaven on a jet plane. Is that what you were going to
go. That's why I said camel.
Yeah, that's good. I wonder if they had a 7-Eleven.
That'd be a circle with a K around it.
You guys need to be leaven this alone.
I mean, a K with a circle around it.
Anyway, so so with each feast, that's what's going to happen. That's what we're going to look into. You know, you have this one called the Feast of First Fruits, you know, and it explains, like she was just reading, she read a couple verses from that. But then we hear like these New Testament verses where Christ was the first fruits of them that slept, which is talking about the resurrection, you know.
Well, it's interesting because I've heard tell of what? Other people coming alive after
not the first fruits of them that slept?
No.
Let's hear what you got.
No.
Well, you don't want to talk about it? You're going to disagree?
No.
Now's the time.
Yeah, it is. That's what the show is for.
Let's hear it.
It's called Disagree with Ralph.
This is not... No. Don't feel like you can't speak.
I don't know.
All right, fine. So, are you going to say it?
It was something that... It's something that she said, and I know this, and it had to do with the blood.
Well, okay, keep going. Let's hear it.
We say that the blood is applied to all mankind.
Uh huh. I said that.
I know, but during that period of time, the blood only was applied to the Israelite people.
Yeah,
it did not apply to all the Egyptians during that period of time.
Hold on, you mean on Passover? Yeah. I think it only worked if you were Jewish.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think it worked on anybody because there were other people that were working on being converted and stuff. And so anyone that had that, the angel passed over. If you had it, the angel didn't come in the house and say, hey, are you Jewish? The angel passed over. So I have to disagree.
But it wouldn't be all mankind because it
would
be.
Yeah, it's an angel. You can all kind of assume.
I just said whoever had the blood on the door.
You're talking now. So we're talking about type and anti-type. So you're looking at the type, which was, you're saying that it was only for the Jewish people, the Hebrews.
The Hebrews.
Right. Which is not necessarily true. It's not. It's not necessarily true because he said anyone that has blood on the post, I will pass over. And that could be anyone.
I get it. But it wasn't for everybody. Because not everybody did it.
The Egyptians didn't do it.
Not at all.
Right. Not. Right. Well, I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
They weren't listening.
No.
No. So you want to take it to the antitype. So you're saying that blood was not applied for everyone.
Because it wasn't necessary.
Why is that? Because you're saying that.
Again, I don't want to get into that deepness because that'll throw this whole thing off. And
right.
I don't.
Okay. Well,
if that's the case, then why'd they put the blood on at all? If the angel already knew, then why even do the blood?
Because he told him to, because of type and anti-type.
Yeah, but you just said it didn't matter, so it either matters or it doesn't.
There is a purpose for it, and there's a purpose for who got it and who didn't.
Okay, I think this is a side study that we probably ought to do.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, but like I said, I didn't want to go down that rabbit.
It's all right, but I mean, I guess what you're saying is that
I'm sitting over here going, is he talking about Calvinism versus
Freemasonry? No, not at all. He's talking about what Christ accomplished, when Christ said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
I kind of can see where she got that out of it, though.
Yeah, of course.
I get it. It's a long, you have to draw it out a little bit longer. But when we say certain things, it's how I start to register stuff. And I'm like, well, if we apply it to everybody, well, if it applies to everybody, then everybody would have had blood over the door, which would have meant that basically none except for the...
It was probably just an information war thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe in a sense.
I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah, right? They didn't tell all the Egyptians whom they hated and wanted to be free of.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, the point of going to the length was, pardonly, was he's not really, he could have dealt with the Pharaoh fairly easy, but not only do you have to deal with them, you have to deal with all the people. By the time that it finally got there, even the people wanted them out.
They did. And they paid them
to get out.
We've always said, like, God's all powerful. So all he had to do is be like, Pharaoh, boop,
yes.
The end, right? He could have just picked up Pharaoh and threw him in the sea right then if he wanted to. But he raised him up to do this particular thing so that he could glorify himself to his people, right? That's for sure. But so, which brings me back to the other feasts. With each major thing, like we talk about Pentecost.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code Burrows. That's B-U-R-R-O-S at checkout to receive free shipping.
Pentecost is another one of those feasts where you have Moses that gets the Ten Commandments, right? Up on the mountain, then he comes down, he's going to show the people. And what happens?
They're having an orgy.
They're having an orgy and there's a big golden calf down there, right? They're hanging out, doing some stuff. Doesn't it say, how many people actually die whenever this happens, right? Isn't it 3,000 people? 3,000 people die.
Bam.
So then you go, that's the type. Now let's go to the antitype. The Holy Spirit comes down on Pentecost. Yeah. Peter begins to speak and tells them what they've done to the Christ. And then how many people get saved?
3,000.
Bam. So you have the type, antitype. And that is a feast. And this feast, you know, these particular things that are within these feasts are going to point to things about the Messiah, which is, it's awesome.
But at the Pentecost also, when the Holy Spirit, God came down It was always with wind and fire. And in Ezekiel, it was the same way, wind and fire. Mm-hmm. And that is another type and antitype.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Can you imagine, like, that? That's the thing about the story of the Exodus that's always been surprising to me. If you've watched God do all of those things, and then you have the firstborn, all the, like you said, all the livestock, all the sons, like all that, and the wailing that's going on in Egypt, and then they leave in a hurry, and they watch God, they see a pillar of fire and a cloud going before them and behind them, and they're just...
Not just any cloud, but a cloud that gives the entire people group shade.
Yes.
Why does it... At that point, what I've never understood is why in the heck Pharaoh didn't said, yeah, your God's right, so let's just... We're all with his God, and we're all worshiping this, and let's just change this whole thing. And you guys can go, but leave somebody here to teach us, because I don't want to go through that again.
Number one, I think that if God had left him alone, he probably would have. But Paul says that God hardened his heart so that he would not let the people go. In other words, it didn't matter what he saw. He could look at that giant cloud and be like...
Yeah, but still, I mean, when it's all over...
There comes a tornado.
Still, when it's all over, the people that are there that saw it, why they didn't convert.
Yeah, or like, why didn't all the people in Egypt just overthrow their own Pharaoh? Because it's like, this dude's a moron. But I guess they were, you know, it is what it is.
Well, they thought he was a god.
They did. He was, well, exactly.
Again, another thing is that whole event also plays into later for Balaam.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, because actually, Balaam's sons
are there, right. And so Balaam's there. He sees that later in the story, which...
You know, the Bible doesn't tell you that. It comes out of the book of Jasher.
Yes, it doesn't connect to all these things.
But Jannes and Jambres is mentioned, and they're like, wait a minute, how did he know the name of them? Because he got it from Jasher.
Yes.
And then you find out that Jannes and Jambres are the sons of Balaam.
Balaam's
a Gentile prophet.
Yes.
It's like, they're all connected.
So when the king at the time is asking Balaam to curse the Israelites, mm-hmm. he won't do it.
Nope.
Because he knows why.
He already saw what happens when you try to mess with the Israelites.
Yes.
When you mess with the big G God, that's your little G gods ain't got nothing.
That's exactly right.
So, Rick, you got to keep speaking up, because people need to know that it's okay to question. I teach my daughter that she can talk back to me, and she can do this, she can do that. She just can't be disrespectful, but she can talk back and say no and do her own thing. And people need to know that when it comes to studying God, if they just take what everybody says as gospel and they don't question it to get their own understanding, well, then they won't have a real understanding. And then how do you get to a real relationship? So keep speaking up.
Yeah, and I think you're right what you said earlier, Ralph. I think we do need to do a side study, Ralph, and get Rick. Like, Big Daddy, you need to take some time to just go ahead and, like, get that out. Because we keep coming back up to it every single time. You just need to get it out. Because otherwise, this is going to suck for you. Because we're all going to be saying stuff in agreement, and you're like, I don't think that's what it is. I don't think that's what it is.
Well, I mean—
At least we have your perspective, then we can know that that's a perspective.
Well, the hard part kinda is—
Kind of like when she walks in and she knows we're all preterists. She's going to— You know what I'm saying? Like, she's at a disadvantage if we're all preterists all right around here. It's not fair. Well, she needs to be able to say her piece, right?
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
I'm not trying to at times.
I ain't scared nobody. I'm running for the house.
But you are. But you also say what's on your mind.
Typically.
And that's good. But you need to be able to. What were you going to say, Rick? No, you're going to not. You're going to start mumbling and then not say it.
So I can talk about saying everything.
So he's going to like sub-vocalize and I'll just take it out and put that as its own thing. The whole time he's just going to be like whispering real close. So what I really think about this is.
All right, do it.
No, I mean, I'm trying not to at times when I hit something, not trying to distract from the flow or the topic of what we're on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to have that thought about, wait a minute. So if it all applies, it doesn't apply here. And that's me trying to connect the dots of the Bible. And and like we talked about the Hebrew study. I mean, I'm in my truck and I'm listening to Zach and I've told you in our things, he will take me, not even intentionally, he'll say things that will take me down the longest rabbit hole I can ever go through. And I'm like, I'm not a preacher, but I'm almost preaching in the truck the whole time. And I'm not even really listening to him, but he's listening to him and I'm connecting dots and I'm saying things. And
he's got these newspaper articles on the wall, a bunch of red strings.
Yeah, you are definitely Mr. Rabbit Hole.
It is. Oh my gosh. It is.
Well,
I don't know if it's a curse, but it's crazy how often it does.
It's either that or squirrel.
Well, I mean, you're connecting things, and I've talked with Zach about some of the things that he's even studying now, and it's crazy. And recently, that I talked to him in the middle of the night, and we're on the same page on the exact same thing, and we haven't even talked to each other.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. That was pretty wild.
We never talked to each other, but we're on the exact same topic about the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when I sent it to Rick, I'm like, oh my gosh, can you believe that this is happening right at the moment where he's talking about, and he released it after you and I talked about mm-hmm. it. And so we've talked since, and him and I, and we get on this, we haven't really talked a whole lot because, again, you know, everybody's limited for time.
Well, I think we should definitely do a side study and let you get some of this stuff out so that people can at least understand your perspective when we bring it into this.
I think when we talk about the books of Enoch and Estra and Jasher and all of these things, it's good to talk about them.
Yeah.
Just like I would say, hey, have you read the book The Unseen Realm by Dr. Michael Heiser? Mm-hmm. I may not agree with everything that comes out of that man's mouth or has come out, and nothing else is coming out. Well, yeah, praises to the Lord are coming out of his mouth, but we won't hear them until we get there. But that doesn't mean I agree with 100% of everything he says. Sure. So just because a book is quoted or they knew it, there was a time in our Christian walk when everybody knew whatever that Rick Warren book was. That
Purpose-Driven.
Yeah, that. I mean, people could quote it and people were reading it and they were doing Bible studies in their homes.
Flavor of the month.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading some of those things and using them as a filler or to add historical background or maybe to fill in something that somebody didn't explain exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, but we do have to take what has been at least given to me, and I have no other, I don't live in Ethiopia, so I don't have 88 books of canon.
Right.
That's just not the way I've grown up. So this is my only canon. Well, I don't have my Bible with me today, but this is my only canon, my Apple phone. So, you know, I just have to be very careful, you know, even when we talk about Zach Davis or Mike Sullivan or some of these people, they have great thoughts and some of the things that they say are mm-hmm. are really good. And then just like we say things that sometimes really we sound really smart. And then sometimes we sound like a bunch of jackasses. Mm-hmm. So here we are on a donkey
Hence
show.
The title.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, all that to say is there's nothing wrong with going down a little rabbit hole. We don't have to go all the way in and come out the other side like Bugs Bunny, but we can go down and put our gun in there and shoot at Bugs Bunny for a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that. It's a great tool in the toolbox. Speculation is. It's wonderful. And you just bring it back to the truth, and whatever truth is subjective, unfortunately, for some. And so...
Well, I just happen to think truth is not subjective, but to some people, you're right.
Well, I meant that is subjective to some people. I didn't mean the truth is subjective. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just people. You know, like, for example, if a pastor has a point and he's created a sermon and he wants to drive home a point, and then he'll go and he'll grab a quote that actually helps him drive home his point. And then you'll be surprised to find out that quote actually doesn't match anything that had anything to do with his point. I learn that all the time, you know, and it's what happens. It's what people do.
Just read the newspaper, you know.
That's because it's rhetoric.
What's
that's
a right. newspaper?
It's rhetoric. Yeah, and that's,
you can get
I mean, that they're trying to drive things home.
Pretty little iPhone.
They are. And see, here's the thing. Whenever, what we do, you know, for us who want to call ourselves like Bible purists, right? We want to say sola scriptura, like we're going by the Bible. We have this whole like idea that, well, if we understand what it says in Leviticus 23, and then we take the cross-reference to Exodus 12 that talks about this, and we read all that. And then when we go to the New Testament, and then we read about, we start seeing similar languages and things like that, and we can start drawing conclusions from it. As long as that thing happens while I'm in my prayer time reading the Bible from what we consider the source, and then I should be good to go. But we find that we're not. Sometimes we're not good to go. Sometimes we didn't understand what we read. Sometimes we were missing entire like points that were there. You know, Matthew will quote things from the Old Testament that the other gospel writers wouldn't have even pulled from.
I've gone recently, and it kind of I won't say wrecked. Well, it did wreck me. I started charting the new synoptic gospels against each other. Started charting them and trying to figure out, trying to look at the similarities and I literally.
Do you want to be my campaign manager?
It wrecked me. It really did, because you begin to find things and see things that, again, I mean, the common person literally is, and that's part of me not, and look what I've done already. I've already spun this whole episode off about me, and I'm not trying to.
No, it's not spun off at all.
But you go down, it develops into a rabbit hole, and it develops into a conscious thought, and doing my charting is what led to, and then also Zach Davis comes in right beside me, and he's right on the same topic. And I start to see things, and then you start to see the language, and you start to see the similarities. He brought up a new term, a maxim something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember what it is.
It's one of his recent videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's talking about maximizing, I guess, the language when you're looking at Old Testament to New Testament to find definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And
but the thing is, if we're going to – so when we attack this study, the whole idea is that Jesus was Jewish, and
no,
he comes from that world.
I think a lot of people are shocked when you tell them that.
Yeah, but he comes from that world, and he is talking from the perspective of the same God who gave those feasts. He recognizes those feasts in his ministry, and because of that, you know, when we're beginning to see these things, we're doing it to the best of our ability. That's it. And so I am going to be pulling quotes from other people because I am going to be trying to drive the point home. But it's because what I see is remarkable. It's remarkable. Like, to see the spring feast, that there's four of them, and then to see that there's four dry months, and then the harvest, then you have this feast of trumpets, and to think about what the, you know, for them, you know, every year they're doing this cycle, and they're remembering all of the things that God did for them in the past, but it's pointing to something that's going to happen in their future. And then when he arrives, he does it exactly as the type.
Do you remember our discussion that we had with Lynn Hiles and the time that you went to that, went down to Aiken?
Vaguely.
And I may be trying to misconnect here, but I remember him talking with us about the miracles that Jesus did were specific to possibly the feasts.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
And yep. I don't remember listening to that one, but I know I did because it says played on it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
That there was a connection between what Jesus was doing and the feast that, the seven feasts.
Yes.
That they were specifically, I don't know if it was to fulfill the feast so that the feast could be fulfilled or what, but there was.
Well, maybe that he honored his father by observing the feast through a miracle or signs and wonder.
I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but for some reason that I remember him talking.
It might be on his testimony. I'm not really sure.
And then if you look at some of these other rituals that the other people around them were doing, they were perversions of some of these feasts.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code BUROWS at checkout to receive free shipping.
Yeah, so that's what this study is going to be about. So we're going to do the best that we can. I'm going to be pulling from a lot of different sources. And if you guys would, like you were just talking about those miracles, right? Would you guys do some research and see if you can find some links? And let's try to draw as much as we can from the Bible itself, We're a Bible study podcast, so let's see if we can pull from the Bible itself to try to link and understand exactly what each one of those feasts are representing in Christ's ministry and his, you know, in fulfillment.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that, you know, it does mention the Sabbath in there, but I think the Sabbath is, from what I've heard before and read a little bit about, the Sabbath is just used as a timekeeper because there's a lot of sevens, you know, seven Sabbaths and then the next day. Okay, that's Pentecost. Yeah. So 7 days or on the seventh or the day after this, you know, they're counting this. And it's all based off back then was the agricultural calendar.
Yeah, and the
Farmer's Almanac.
Zachary.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, some feasts are dependent upon the other feasts and some are dependent, you know, like how do they know when to start the calendar? They watch the moon, right? Like when the moon was full, then they knew what day it was, you know? And so that's how they did their calendar, you know, but...
That's how we get Easter.
It is. That's exactly right. That's how we get Easter.
It's the fourth Sunday after the last full moon, isn't it? That's what it is? Something like that. I think
so. Yep. But so we'll... When you said that, Ralph, you made me think of something else, but I can't. I just lost it, and it really irritates me.
Sorry.
Not you,
I distracted
Ralph.
You.
No, no, no. It was Ralph said something, and it made me.
Yeah.
What did you say, Ralph, just a second ago?
The agricultural calendar?
No, before that.
The 7 days of the Sabbath.
About the Sabbath being mentioned.
Sabbath. Yeah, thank you.
So there's seven feasts, but it starts off by talking about the Sabbath, which I think that they used as their timing.
We have two episodes that are about the Sabbath. And I had said back then that they were linked to the feasts and that we were going to be talking about the feast. This was a while ago. And you were in that study with me in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Sabbath isn't a
Christ
feast.
It's a person. It's a person. Exactly. Yeah. Christ is our Sabbath rest, you know, that fulfillment of that Sabbath. So, but we talked about, we were going to do the Feast of Yahweh back then.
That's interesting because that speaks to one of the last feasts.
Yeah. The Day of Atonement. Or the Feast of Tabernacles?
I'll have to go back into my notes because I know it's one of those last two. I think it's the Tabernacles.
Yeah, yeah. The Feast of Booths. That's another, they call it booths.
Well,
remember that?
It's interesting.
Remember
that?
They're like, boobs.
What did you say?
right.
I want to go. Anyway,
1, 2, 3.
It's interesting that the trumpets and tabernacles both have some of the same connotations. Only the tabernacles is finishing it, and the trumpet starts it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
In my view, of where the trumpet ends it.
Yeah.
Well,
does it depend on where you start your calendar?
Well, she's not a Predatist.
No, but is that where you start your calendar? Is that based on where you start your calendar?
No, the trumpets are when Christ comes back a second time.
You're talking about Revelation and trumpets, but I'm asking you, Sarita. When you determine that trumpet, is it based on the Jewish calendar?
I mean, Jesus was a Jew, so I would have to say maybe.
Right. So like, yeah. you know, like right now, modern Jews, they begin their calendar on the Feast of Tabernacles, but that's not what God said their calendar was to start on Passover. He changed it. He restored it. So I was just curious if you have it starting or ending on the trumpet.
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that.
I was just curious because that's one of the things that I discovered in this study is about the calendar itself. Because when God set this forth, He changed that calendar and begins His year on Passover. But currently, the Jews start on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is actually against Torah. Which is pretty wild when you think about it. But anyway, well, so this is going to be fun for me. Huh?
So sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Just sorry. Spinning it out.
He just like kind of lives that way. It's not about this.
It's like, why are you sorry? I'm just sorry.
I'm just sorry.
I am sorry. That's what my mama told me. You're just sorry, boy.
Anyway, well, Sarita, thanks for being here.
So should we give our readers, our listeners homework? Listen to Leviticus 23?
Read Leviticus 23.
You're going to love it.
And then if you want, then you can also do some Google searching with that. Like, okay, what is the Feast of First Fruits, and then see if you can see other areas within the Old Testament where the Feast of First Fruits is happening, what's going on surrounding it, and then try to find something in the New Testament about the feast. You know, there's one, the Feast of Weeks, you know, like each one of these have a significant point throughout, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's pretty cool. Anyway, Andy, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Ralph.
Represent.
Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to be fast.
I'm sorry.
He's trying to make up for time.
Big Daddy Carter. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
He's like Eeyore.
Right.
Anyway, and guys, next time, let's somebody bring a joke, man. We haven't done a Larry the 15th Apostle in a very long time. I'm going to have to make one up. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Bye, y'all. Bye. Come back, Billy and Jerry.
Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon. That is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level. We've got a $10 level and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy? That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea and give us all of your money.
even a little bit will be fine.
Yeah. And that $5,000 wouldn't hurt my either.
No, it wouldn't hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.
When all else fails, plug it, unplug it.
All right, we're rolling.
Did you try turning it on?
Thinking that was kind of a shorty.
Yeah, and then he
brought that out, and I was disappointed that I didn't get it the last time.
Yeah.
And I hate to make you just go through it again, but I think it's neat. So.
Oh, well, it's okay. So what I want to do is take a minute, because I've been looking for a couple of these coins. I've been looking for them for a while, because I used to have one of one of these coins, and I gave it to someone who was one of the most godly men I know. And that's our old music pastor. His name is Philip, and he did a lot for me. And I was probably a thorn in his behind, but I got to tell you, he was a really...
You were a thorn in a lot of people's behinds, right? But we love you for it anyway.
So, I love you.
So even Andy.
So I got a couple of coins here. I've had for a while, a couple of other ones that I want to just talk about. But what I want you to do is I want you to take this coin. I want you to hang on to this coin.
Okay.
And without looking at what it says in there, I'm going to tell you that that's from 14 AD. It's part of the Han Dynasty.
Yeah.
So that coin was on this earth during the time of Christ.
Wow.
Right after Christ's death. That's that coin.
And I can't really tell if it kind of looked like there was a fish on it for a second there, but I can't really tell.
Have been common in the Chinese dynasty. They had a lot of fish on lots of things.
Actually, that's the one with the square cut out of it, right?
Yeah. Okay. So this, and it's kind of patinaed.
What does like Wang Mang mean?
That must have been the dynasty.
Wang Mang?
That's what it says.
Wasn't Wang that a group that sang? Oh, wait, that was Wang Chung. Never mind.
Yeah, everybody have fun tonight.
Ralph, what is a coin collector called?
A lobotomist.
So they took this coin.
So no, a philatelist. Isn't that a stamp collector?
Basically, a stamp collector, yes.
He got it punched.
That is really cool. Yeah,
it's a numismatist.
So, numismatist.
I got to do my rhyme. Everybody have tang tonight. Everybody wang mang tonight. Thank you. I had to get that. Yeah,
that's what Billy's doing in Vegas.
Oh, dang.
Me love you long time. You wang mang.
So here's another coin.
Wow, that's really heavy feeling.
So this coin is from the time of
Christ.
Wait
a minute, is that the Caesar?
Yes.
That is Augustus Caesar.
So there when you Jesus go. Says, hey, whose image and superscription is on this?
Yes, give
this Jesus is what they were looking at. Jesus could have held that very coin.
Yes.
Are you kidding me right now?
No.
I've looked 6 years to find a coin like that I could afford.
Yeah, Do you mind me asking what you fade? You don't have to answer. That's completely legit.
Do you mind
Is it more or less than a car?
So I didn't ask. Most of
the ones, most of the ones that I see that are in good condition are in the $1,000 to $5,000 range. I've been looking for a Cleopatra. I can't find one under like $1,000. And the Mark Antony Cleopatra is like
$8,000. Wow. They got to be so rare.
I've been bidding on coins for 6 years. I got this for $60 in a bid because nobody else bid on it.
Oh, wow.
Killer.
It was one of those last minute, I put in a last second bid on it.
But
I got
to you,
it for
$60. That's precious. Oh, my heavens. To know it was
how
like
rare must those be?
Floating around.
Well, you
the
know,
same
you can
of
find them, but finding one of these, I mean, most of
guys,
those are
Matthew
over $1,000.
Matthew could have collected that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't
exactly
that crazy?
Yeah. And it's very. For the
Should
listener,
we pay our taxes? Whose image and
it's almost like a button. Feels kind of like a button, a
it's
really hefty
heavy
button.
Yeah.
Well, it's also that for the listener cool the image of Caesar on it.
So this
for
is
as old as
another
is
coin,
clear.
And I'll tell you when that's from.
That's another heavy coin.
That coin.
Wait, I know who this is. Is this Alexander the Great?
No, but it is from.
Alexander the kind of cool.
Alexander the meh.
Alexander so, the yeah.
Alexander the meh.
He's the meh. He was just meh.
All right, what is this? What is this, Ralph?
That coin is for you.
What?
You are a preterist. And
I
that
am
coin is from 100 AD after the fall of the temple. I couldn't find anything from 70.
They were all destroyed.
They were melted. That's
funny. Jeez. Well, they would have
so
been.
That
let's laugh at their expense,
is,
shall we?
That coin is from 100 AD. I have the paperwork. I can't find the paper. It must be with the other one because I bought
what's
two. I bought one for you and one
that
for me.
Yeah, what is the nationality of this coin?
Is that Roman?
That is a Roman coin.
So this is a Caesar. That's definitely a Caesar.
That's a Roman
a lot
coin
of them.
It kind of looked like the face of Alexander the Great in a way.
Yeah, so I have it written down at home. I don't think
so. This would have been Emperor Domitian. If this was from 100 AD, this would be Emperor Domitian, most
so
likely.
Josephus.
I'll look it up. This is amazing.
Wrote about how the Jews would actually eat their money during the siege.
They did.
They ate their money.
This could have been in somebody's poo-poo trail.
Well, they're
when it kind of looks like it, doesn't it?
When they were when they starved to death and they threw their body over the wall, their body would hit the ground and burst open, and then the money would come out.
Man.
And then the Roman army men would see that, and when they saw that, they went and started hacking up the bodies to try to get
The gold.
To get the gold. If they hit anybody else that eaten
or coins
gold
or whatever.
It's just like every time I hear something about how brutal history was, it's like
it's bad.
20 minutes later, I forget. And oh, then, yours, you know, the next day somebody tells you something awful about how the way things used to be. And I'm like, oh, that's right.
We live in the least violent
absolutely
time 100% in the history
this is the
of the world.
Safest time
yes
to be alive at yeah ever existed.
You did such a good job, Ralph.
And words are violence.
Not in the
shut
Ukraine
your mouth when they would hack your body open for coins you swallowed.
Both things can be wrong. You can be mean mentally and physically.
I guess
you
true
did so
it's
good
not so safe in the Ukraine, but did everybody know that
oh
Russia
true
started yeah in the Ukraine?
Yes, I mean
what? No, really?
Yeah.
You
go
heard
back,
the diatribe
back
of what's his name? Putin did the
no
45 minutes.
They
thing
started no in Rus.
Rus was named. The name comes from Ukraine. That started everything. Started in Ukraine.
That's not what Putin said.
Well, Putin doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
If Putin doesn't care what he's talking about, he's got a point always.
Yeah. Well, all yeah I was saying is that the other day
yeah
he talked
the beginning
about
of Russia was Ukraine, and the Rus came from Ukraine.
Huh. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm not going to argue with a man that just gave me a coin. You're right, Ralph. You're
absolutely
right.
He did
thank
a really
you
good
that
job.
Very
those
kind
are
of
so
you, man
well.
Yes. I've been looking
those
for that
quality
coin since you said you were a preterist, and I was looking for the other coin. I'm like, well, I wonder if I can get one from this. That's the only one that's the closest I could get to AD 70 and in my price range.
Wow.
So
nice.
I
that's crazy.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
So you got
much
that one for $5.
Yeah.
So don't
no
put that in
not
your don't put that in your Aldi cart thing.
No, that's awesome.
I think it was like
don't.
I think it was like 65 a piece.
I can't get it back out. You start
so
destroying
clear
all the things. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
This is that was very kind of you, Ralph. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it means
very
a lot
cool,
to me.
Ralph. Thanks for
I
sharing
will
your coins.
Yeah,
to me,
I will absolutely.
The first time
it.
I held
thank
a
you, numismatist, numismatist. Yeah, that.
The first time I held a coin that was. And these are all purported to be. I mean, you know, there's a chance that any of them could be fakes.
Yeah.
But the first time I held one, I was probably 12. And it was, I don't know, it's weird. I kind of glowed inside. I was like,
cool,
ooh, this is.
You're holding history in your hand.
Yeah, this could have been, well, this it, for me, I was thinking about Christ. I'm like, Wow.
I kind of do that when I hold a transformer.
She's going to punch me. Inside. She's going to punch me.
I was
going
to say,
throat.
Tune in next time when we force Rick Carter to bring a bunch of transformers up.
Sarita's going to punch me in the throat when I walk out of here.
Now you know how mad I'm curious.
Sarita, hold your hand out. You're a futurist. I'm handing you a crypto coin. Can't see it? Neither can I.
I have some.
That's what Christ is. He's crypto.
Is it Doga coin or Bitcoin?
It's Bitcoin. I got in early.
Did you? Well,
I
did too, actually.
You only need one and you got money.
Well, I didn't buy a whole one.
Oh,
I wasn't
sure. I did in early 2000s. I actually got involved in Bitcoin. But I was, I didn't care. Yeah. And so I think I traded it for a burrito I got a burrito.
That's great.
$78,000 today.
Somebody came to my cousin and talked about it. And the coins back then for Bitcoin were $8 a piece.
Yeah. There was a time.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to buy them several times. I'm like, it's like junk stocks. No thanks.
That's what it felt like. And then when you see all this craziness behind it now, and as high as it is even now, of course, it's not as high as it's ever been. I mean, what's it at right now?
It peaked at 78.
I think I looked at it.
Last week or 2 weeks ago. 64,
guys, 000. Like last year, it was 29. Or 21.
Yeah.
It was low.
Yeah, so I think at the beginning of the year, it's like 64.
It'll bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
It's an investment. I'm not convinced it's a valid currency since in a day you can lose $10,000.
But I will tell our listeners that now, if you would like to donate to Patreon, you can donate using Bitcoin.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep, you can. So feel free to send me 2, 3, 4 Bitcoins, whatever you need. We'll hold it for you.
That'll fund my campaign.
Yes, sir, will. Sir Will. Well, anyway, thanks, Ralph. That was really cool.
That's awesome, dude.
All right.
So cool.